It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Later this hour, how one woman found strength, confidence, and overcame years of negative body image and struggle with an eating disorder through running. But first, at this time of year, a lot of people make fitness or weight loss goals. And we're going to talk this hour about health assessments, what we can learn from them, how to use this information, or even when the information isn't helpful. To start off the hour, Breanne Sanchez is here. She is community and public affairs manager at Des Moines University. She's also a blog contributor to Des Moines Mom Blog, and she's also a mother of two. She recently underwent a DEXA body scan to learn more about her health, and she's here to share her experience. Hello, Breanne.
Hi, Charity.
Thank you so much for being here.
It's my pleasure.
And in the interest of full disclosure, I want to mention that you do work for Des Moines University and you received the scan at the Des Moines University Clinic. But I want to ask you, what made you think about getting the scan?
Sure. Well, I'd recently heard that they weren't requiring doctor's orders to get it. So that was really great. It was as simple as making a phone call over to our radiology department to set that up. And I had a little bit of medical flex left. And while it's not covered by insurance, it's about $48 and you can get reimbursed through your flex account. So felt like a good time. And I think, we're all interested in the data around our health, and I'd started tracking what I was eating on my Fitness Pal. And so I thought, at the beginning of that journey that it would be good to get kind of a baseline of where I was.
Well, and was there was a moment at a doctor's appointment that made you think, I need to know more about my health?
Sure. Yeah. Well, actually at DMU, we have an annual personal wellness profile that we can get done. And that gives us our cholesterol, our glucose, our BMI, some of those markers of health. And so I had my results back and realized I was pre-diabetic. And so that was really kind of a wake-up call for me that it wasn't just about, not quite fitting in my clothes that I had pre-baby. But it was sort of a deeper issue that I needed to address through healthier eating.
All right. So you decide to get this scan. And we have also with us today, Kara Whitaker. She's an assistant professor in health and human physiology at the University of Iowa. Hello, Kara.
Hello.
And I would love for you to, before Breanne talks about her experience, tell us a little bit more about the DEXA scan. I mean, what is this?
Right. So this is a scan that gives you information about your body composition. So it's one of the best ways to determine how much body fat that you have. It's much better than BMI or body mass index. So for this, what is really interesting is it gives you the percent of overall body fat that you have, but it also gives you information about your visceral adipose tissue. And so there's two.
And what is that?
I'll explain, yeah, of course. So there's two main types of fat in the body. One is subcutaneous, and that is the fat that is located right below the skin. Then there's also visceral fat. Visceral fat is located deep to the subcutaneous fat, and that is fat that's located around your organs, primarily located in the trunk region. And what we found through research is that visceral fat is associated with adverse health outcomes, and it has a stronger association than that subcutaneous fat.
All right, but the subcutaneous fat is what most of us focus on all the time. That's what we look at when we look in the mirror.
Correct, but you do, if you have a lot of visceral fat, you'll see it in your trunk. I mean, it's still visible.
All right. So now that we've gotten a little bit of background, Breanne, you decided to get this scan. Were you nervous about it?
No. The rad tech who does it, reassured me it's really a 3-minute process and it's all sort of open air. So it was super simple. I just had to change into scrubs.
All right. So they did the scan for you. And then what kind of information do you get from it? I mean, talking about some of the things that Kara was mentioning, I'm not sure I'd be able to crunch those numbers. I mean, what kind of information are you presented with?
Sure. That VAT score that she was talking about was a big thing to hone in on. And so that fat around your organs where, I guess the the term a lot of people use is skinny fat, you know, when somebody doesn't, you know, look like they're unhealthy, but they might have some of that. So it really gives you sort of this rainbow colored image. A lot of times when people, you know, start a fitness challenge, the before and after photo, the before one is just somebody kind of looking glum and pasty, maybe in their sports bra or something. But this is sort of a rainbow colored image that shows you your bone density. Bone density is another thing that it can can look at, your bones, your lean tissue, and then your the percentage of fat and kind of where that is. So
what do you feel you learned from this?
Well, I learned that I need to get certain numbers down, and really looking at some target areas that I want to address. So
how do you want to use this information, or how have you been using this information?
Sure. Well, I think, you know, it's about health being more than skin deep. And I'm trying to be, you know, pretty body positive in the process, you know, realizing, you know, what my body can do and being kind to it. And that, you know, having a healthier diet is something that I've been focusing on, but also, you know, doing more yoga. And I do like an at-home yoga thing. And so, you know, riding my bike more, just really trying to set a good example for my kids about prioritizing my health.
So do you feel like this information has had a positive influence on you? Because I can also see where, you know, you were trying to get healthier already.
Sure.
That sometimes more information can be hard to have.
Sure. Well, I think it's great to have that information. And I sort of alluded to that before and after image. So I'm really considering this sort of my before picture. And it looks different than, you know, me standing against a white wall or something like that. It goes deeper than the skin, and it can really be a motivating factor. I actually have the printout on my fridge. So it kind of is a reminder when I try and make choices about when I'm going to eat. So it's right there for me.
Now, of course, you can't get a scan every month, or I mean, you could, I guess.
I think they allow it, I think, on a quarterly basis.
Okay.
So the idea is, you know, most people who are going to start a program might do it, you know, after 6 months or something like that, if you want to get see the difference,
so
get a comparison.
Is that something you plan on doing so that you can look at that before picture and
yes.
look at that after picture?
Yes. I think maybe not 6 months. I think a year. I'm giving myself a year.
That makes a lot of sense. And, you know, as somebody who has been aware of fitness and has thought a lot about it over time, do you feel like this has changed your behavior?
I think it has. I mentioned, you know, having that picture up, or the scan image up on my fridge. I think also when I write about something like on the mom's blog, there's this element of accountability. So I've started walking with two of my really good friends on Wednesday nights, and I told them about sort of my health results. And, you know, they're always so encouraging and, you know, you look great. It's like, yes, I know, but I need you to help me be accountable. And I named my pre-diabetes Doug, and I said, we're going to, you know, work together to, you know, kick Doug's butt. So
sounds so, like an excellent plan.
Yeah. Having friends in the journey and writing about it, I think, is always something that makes me more accountable and more aware.
So are you doing other things to track your progress, your fitness progress as well?
Well, you know, for DMU and the mom's blog, I've been thinking about, you know, what does health look like? I think moms sometimes get in the habit of, you know, you're bringing your kid to their wellness exams. I always joke that my dog gets more regular checkups than I do. I get, you know, the postcard in the mail that's, you know, about my dog's geriatric workup, and I schedule that right away. But when was the last time I had a physical? So I actually also met with our pelvic health specialists at DMU. And they do physical therapy. So a lot of times women will say, like, oh, I used to be a runner, but after two kids, you know, maybe you pee in your pants a little bit when you run, which is kind of embarrassing. But it's not normal, but it's really common. And so thinking about addressing some of those underlying issues that have changed, you know, why you're physically active or not as physically active as you used to be. So that's something else I'm trying to think about as well.
And really taking care of yourself, taking control of your health.
Absolutely.
Well, Breanne, thank you so much for sharing your experience with us.
Thank you, Charity.
Breanne Sanchez is Community and Public Affairs Manager at Des Moines University. She is a blog contributor to the Des Moines Moms blog, and she's also a mother of two. She recently underwent a DEXA body scan to learn more about her health. And Kara Whitaker is with us. She is Assistant Professor in Health and Human Physiology at the University of Iowa. You're welcome to join our conversation with your questions and your comments. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. If you have gone through a health assessment that you really feel gave you important information about your health, we'd love to hear about your experience. Again, 866-780-9100. And Kara, you talked to us about the DEXA scan earlier. There are a lot of different tools that are available for people when they want to assess their health. There are a lot of apps, a lot of technological tools that we can use now. So give me some of your thoughts about the new tools that we have available.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of opportunity with all the different electronic devices we have to measure physical activity. Let's see. She mentioned MyFitnessPal, using that to track her eating. You can also use that to track your physical activity. And then there's the Fitbits and Jawbones and many other things. I know Garmin makes something. And so if you want to invest in a little bit of money, then you can get a device that you wear on your wrist that tells you about how many steps you're taking, can even measure your heart rate, your sleeping habits, gives you a lot of great information, which I think can sometimes be a little overwhelming for people, how much data that they get. But it also gives you a baseline and can kind of show you where you're at. And then you can make goals based on what information you're given.
So we have a lot of technology at our disposal. We'll talk more about making goals, following through on goals and fitness in just a few minutes. With me today, Kara Whitaker, Assistant Professor in Health and Human Physiology at the University of Iowa. Coming up later this hour, I'll talk with Kelly Teeslink about her personal journey through negative body image, an eating disorder, and overcoming years of struggle and becoming a runner. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Luther College, offering more than 60 areas of study, including the new data science and neuroscience majors, dedicated to preparing students for success in a changing world.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This is a time of year when a lot of people take a few minutes to assess their health and think about how they're doing fitness-wise, maybe making some goals for becoming more fit or losing weight in the new year. In this hour, we're talking about health assessments and the different tools you can use. You can take advantage of some of this new technology to help you meet your goals and understand your body in a better way. You're welcome to join our conversation with your questions, your comments. If you've had experience with some of these new technology tools that have been good or bad, we'd love to hear your story. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. With me right now is Kara Whitaker, Assistant Professor in Health and Human Physiology at the University of Iowa. And I'm curious, as somebody who has spent a lot of your life, you know, really focusing on the idea of getting people more active, more fit, when we talk about fitness in our culture, what concerns you? What would you like us to be saying when we think about making goals?
Well, I think when a lot of people think about fitness, they think about how someone looks versus their cardiovascular health or what's on the inside. And so I think getting away from looking at aesthetics and more thinking about health and a different way of assessing you know, how you feel as compared to how you look.
And so many people depend on the scale to really mark their progress, which progress is a real motivator. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about the scale?
Yeah, I think it works well for some people, and for others it maybe isn't as helpful. So I think that for each individual, it's up to them. I know some people do it based on how their clothes fit versus having a scale, which I think is a fine marker as well. But a scale, I think, is helpful just so you know where you're at. And if your goal is to lose weight, I mean, that's the easiest way to measure it, is to just step on a scale, maybe not on a daily basis, but once a week or so, just to get an idea of if you're hitting your targets or not.
Well, and do you have advice for people who do use the scale? I mean, not every day is great advice, but any other pitfalls that you see people falling into when they're weighing themselves pretty frequently?
Well, one thing is, if you do weigh yourself, you're probably already aware of this, but your weight will fluctuate over the course of the day. So one thing I would recommend is, if you are weigh yourself at a consistent time. And most people do that first thing in the morning when they get up. I will also say you'll weigh the least the first thing in the morning when you get up. But if you're weighing yourself at, you know, the consistent time, then you really will be seeing changes versus just an artifact of the day and water and the food that you eat.
Right. And now a lot of people recommend, in addition to maybe just thinking about how your clothes fit, but actually taking measurements so that you have a chart over time. You can say my waist is this, my thighs are this, or whatever. Do you recommend that?
Again, I think it's what you're interested in, what your goals are. I think that information is helpful for some people. I think for other people, it can be overwhelming. I also know some of those measurements are difficult to take accurately, especially if you're doing it yourself. So I think about the waist circumference measure. It's really best if you have someone else do that for you, because you need to make sure that, like, the measuring tape is level all the way around. So you could get very different readings if you're trying to do this by yourself, which maybe shows you've lost 10 centimeters, and really it might have been like 3 or 4. It's just when you first did the measurement that the tape was tilted on one side. So just something to keep in mind.
And, cautionary tale.
Yes.
Well, and in thinking about some of these things that you can do at home, you can do yourself. Brianne was also mentioning getting a panel done and seeing that she was pre-diabetic. So, I mean, do you recommend that people make sure that they get to the doctor once a year and have an idea of where they stand?
Yes, definitely. I would recommend having that physical on a yearly basis. It's a great way to track your health over time. I keep records of anytime I get blood work done to kind of see how things are changing, and with the ultimate goal of, you know, you're staying about the same or seeing some improvements, especially if that's your goal and you've been making changes along the way. But it's really important to get into the doctor once a year.
We have Sue on the line in Ames at 866-780-9100. Hi, Sue.
Hi. Yeah, I have a question. I had a DEXA done as part of a study on sarcopenia among older people. And I was sort of horrified at the result of my body fat, which was high. There were 5 categories, and I was in the highest. And I'm in my late 60s. But I noticed that there's also a percentile along with the body fat percentage that gives YN, which is young normal, and then AM, which is age matched. And should we pay more attention to that percentile than to the raw percentage of body fat when we're reading our DEXA scores?
Yeah, so I think I'm not an expert on reading the DEXA output, but I think it would make the most sense to go with your age-adjusted percentile. And I will say that as you age, the percent of body fat that you have, it does just naturally increase. I mean, you can do things to combat that and slow the increase, but that's the traditional trajectory. So the fact that you're in the highest category, given your age, you got to keep that in mind when you're reading those scans. So I think it would be more appropriate to look at the age adjusted.
Well, Sue, thanks a lot for your call. And, you know, thinking about some of the information that we can get from these scans, do you feel like maybe we get a little overly dependent on the technology that we have access to now?
Well, I don't know if we get overly dependent. I mean, I think all the information that we are able to get is really interesting, and it kind of just depends how you want to use that information. Again, I think it can be too much for some people, and then there's other people that want as much data as they can get on themselves. So I think it's just finding the balance for you, what is actually motivating to you and what is not.
Right. Well, speaking of motivating, this is a question from Carolyn. She says, and this is maybe outside of your field of expertise, but how accurate are the Fitbits and other electronic devices? Is there quality research to back the accuracy of the information provided?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there have been studies with Fitbit, in particular, validation studies against accelerometers, so like the actigraph, which is more commonly used in research to measure physical activity and sedentary behaviors. And I would say they're fairly good. Some models are better than others. I can't say which is the best off the top of my head, but just know that there's some error. But if you're wearing the same monitor over time and you increase your physical activity, you should see that the numbers on these devices also go up. So if you're comparing it to your baseline, I think it's they're still great devices.
Well, I have a device that I wear on my pants, and I've found that compared to people who wear them on their wrist, that I tend to collect fewer steps throughout the day. But I'm comparing myself to myself. So I have that baseline.
Right.
The information that you can get from these devices is getting bigger. I mean, so many people are walking around with a heart rate monitor on their wrist now, which is something that we didn't used to do in the past. How about the accuracy of that kind of information?
So I actually don't know how accurate the heart rate monitor is for the wrist. I will say the best way to measure your heart rate is to have a strap around your chest. But I think that the wrist-worn devices probably do a fairly good job. I mean, they can definitely detect if you're working, if you're sitting at your desk versus if you're walking versus if you're running. I mean, they're going to be able to pick up those differences in heart rate.
All right. So we do seem to have more and more information available to us. Some people, I think, get concerned that we get a little caught up in I need to have a Fitbit so that I can start a new program. When you are thinking about setting goals, what are some of your basic principles for setting good goals that you can achieve whether or not you have access to new technology?
Yeah, first I want to say you definitely don't need a Fitbit to start an exercise program. I think one thing I would say is if you're going to set a goal and it's related to fitness or weight, to set a SMART goal, so that's an acronym. It stands for specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-bound. So you want to set, we'll start with the beginning, the specific. So instead of just saying, I want to exercise more, be more specific. Say it like, what are you going to do? Are you going to start walking 5 days a week? Are you going to do a couch to 5K program? Have a little bit more detail in your goal. And then measurable, so can you track your progress? So this is an example where potentially you could use a Fitbit to track your progress. But also you could just count the number of minutes that you walk a day. It could be that simple, and you're trying to increase those minutes every day. And then you want to make your goal be attainable. So if you're currently sedentary, you're not exercising at all, I would say it's not an attainable goal to say, I'm going to exercise or I'm going to run for an hour a day. So start small. If you are currently sedentary, I think a great starting goal is to walk maybe 10 minutes at a time, brisk pace, and then try to increase that up to about 30 minutes a day. And I will say the recommendation for physical activity, it's 150 minutes a week of moderate to vigorous intensity physical activity. So that breaks down to 5 days a week for 30 minutes each day. And you can break that down further into 10-minute bouts. So if you can't fit a 30-minute break for exercise, could you do 3 10-minute bouts? And moderate exercise would be brisk walking. So where your heart rate is elevated, you would be able to talk with someone, but maybe not hold a full conversation. So you are working. It's not a casual walk. So I just wanted to throw in what those recommendations are. And then also with the goals, we want to make sure that they're relevant. So does it fit in with your overall goals? So if one of your big goals is weight loss, exercise does fit in with that. So is it relative to you and where you're at this point in time? And then the last one is time bound. So if you set a goal to lose weight or to get to a certain fitness level, give yourself a time frame. And I used to work as a personal trainer, and so a lot of the times we would do goals each month. But I think it's important to have short goals. And then once you hit that, then you can reassess and create a new goal. But as saying, you know, my goal is to lose 50 pounds in the next year, it's just a year is so far away. So I would start smaller time frames.
All right. So achieving those goals, that gives you the motivation to continue.
Correct.
What are some of the pitfalls that you see people falling into when they say, okay, I'm going to set this goal, and maybe the goal is a smart goal, but I've joined a gym that's half an hour away from my house, or I have to, you know, do this before I get to that. What mm-hmm. kinds of obstacles do we put in our own way?
Yeah, so I think the best exercise program is one that you will stick with. So if you make it logistically challenging for yourself, you're less likely to follow through with it. So if you join a fancy gym, but it's hard for you to get to the gym, like it's a 30-minute drive and it's out of your way from work, you're probably not going to stick with it. So if you're the kind of person that it's more likely to do a at-home exercise program, I say go for that. Do something that you think you can stick with versus what you think you should be doing, which is maybe joining that fancy gym. Definitely not necessary.
All right. Here's a question from Stephanie in Cedar Rapids. She says, I have a digital composition monitor at home. It's the one that has all sorts of dietary and activity parameters one must take into account before taking readings by holding a device and having it pulse waves through one's body. What do you know about devices like that, assuming that I'm following the directions?
Yeah, so those devices are not terribly accurate. But I think, again, that they would give you a good baseline. One thing to keep in mind with those is your hydration status can affect the readings. So with that, again, I would recommend, just like with weight, that you use that at the same time every day, probably right when you get up in the morning. And then you have an assessment of from your baseline. You can look at change. But if you were to drink a couple glasses of water and do the scan or hold the device, you might get a little bit different reading. So just be consistent at your time of day. And so keep in mind, when you first get up, you're dehydrated. But if you are at least, you know, consistent with those measurements, then you can use that to see your progress.
So we've talked about having a limited timeline so that we can meet goals, we can maintain that motivation. What have we learned about dieting with actually sticking to a lower calorie plan or whatever plan you've chosen? What seems to help people maintain? We see a lot of apps that give you the opportunity to, you know, have an electronic food diary, for example. Is that an effective tool for a lot of people?
I think it can be effective for certain people. I will say it's time intensive to write down everything you eat. So thinking long term, would you be able to sustain that behavior, tracking everything that you ingest? I think that's a lot for some people. You just have to figure out what works for you. So for some people, that might be making a goal of cutting out 1 to 500 calories a day. And maybe you could track that. What did you not eat that you normally do? And that would be a lot less writing of everything down. But really, I think similar with exercise, the best diet is one that you will stick with. So if you are starting a diet and it's something that you really do not enjoy and the foods you're eating don't taste appealing to you, I mean, it's just not going to be sustainable. So just try to make small changes and don't think of it as a short-term diet. Think of it as a lifestyle change. So these are small changes you're going to incorporate for the rest of your life.
And do you have a favorite way for people to measure success, measure fitness improvements that is not the scale and isn't weight-based?
I think a big one is just how you feel. So I remember working with, when I was a personal trainer, working with clients, after a few months, they would just say, I just feel better. I have more energy. I look forward to my workouts now, whereas before I dreaded them just because they were, I mean, your body starts to adapt and you become more fit, but you're able to do more. Your energy levels go up. As you lift weights, for example, you increase your resting metabolic rate, so you're burning more calories throughout the day, which will also facilitate weight loss. So I think it's a lot just about how you feel.
But you have to stick with it long enough to feel that change.
That's very true, and that's a challenge.
Well, Kara, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Of course, you're welcome.
Kara Whitaker is assistant professor in health and human physiology at the University of Iowa. Coming up in just a moment, I'll talk with Kelly Teasling. When she was growing up, she struggled with body image and later on with an eating disorder. She found her strength, her confidence, and her health through running. We'll hear her story in a moment. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.